Now, more Drive Time Sports on KOAL, 107.3 FM and 7.50 AM, the play-by-play home of the Emory Spartans.
Football Tuesday here on Drive Time Sports. We continue to go through the dog days of summer in July. Vinny, we are getting close to camp.
It's about 3 weeks away, two weeks away.
Perfect timing because we're going through two divisions every Tuesday leading up to the start of camp. We've been doing divisional previews, and I get it. Some of these teams are going to look a little bit different. I think we know that going into it. But still, for the most part, rosters are set. For the most part, there's going to be some changes here or there, but you know who the heavy hitters are going to be.
Yeah, there could be a late addition, maybe two or three guys onto your roster, especially the back end of the roster. But, you know, hey, if you had 53 spots, 50 of these guys are set right now, right?
Right.
I mean,
right.
Really, in most teams, 50 guys are set. On a real bad team, maybe 40 of them.
Well, let's continue. Today we're going to talk AFC, NFC North. The NFC North looks completely different now that Aaron Rodgers is gone. That's kind of odd because he's dominated that division for 15 years. And he's gone. We'll talk about the NFC North next segment. I want to talk about the AFC North because it's a pretty intriguing division. I think when you look at the Vegas odds, a lot of people are giving Baltimore a lot of love. And I think that Cleveland, for as bad as they were last year, this is a kind of a make it or break it year for the Browns. And then you have the Steelers who are always competitive. But the cream of the crop, Cincinnati, there's no doubt.
Absolutely. I'm betting a man. You're going to be betting on the Bengals, Joe Burrow. They got a skill set. You know, there's some questions in the back end, right? Two safeties left. They're going to have to replace that, but they got young players. They got talent, and they got Joe Burrow.
They averaged 29 points per game. If I'm not mistaken, the league average was around 24.
Yeah.
Okay, so they're averaging about 5 points per game more than the league average. And they managed to keep Joe Mixon, Ja'Marr Chase, T. Higgins, Tyler Boyd. You mentioned Joe Burrow. They've kept everyone.
At Orlando Brown.
Yeah.
And you know a guy that you just doesn't get talked about enough, a very dominating player and a great player. How about Hendrickson off the edge over there?
Yes.
Nobody talks about him as a great pass rusher. He doesn't get the pub that he deserves. I think the guy had 13 and a half sacks last year, if I'm not mistaken. I mean, the guy is a force off the edge. And Hubbard on the other side is a solid player. You know, hey, this is a team that was, you know, hey, they were going into overtime in the championship game. And, you know, a bad penalty, like it or lump it, you know, it kind of changed the game for them. They lost. But this is a team that can take anybody in the AFC down to the wire. This is a Super Bowl roster.
There's no question. And I do believe, I've always believed in the process. And so when you go back and you look at how it went down for Cincinnati, it almost seemed 2 years ago, had they beat the Rams in the Super Bowl, it would have been too easy because they went on an incredible run in the postseason. They were winning games with walk-off field goals. And this was a team that was 10-6, if I remember correctly. 10-7, 11-6, somewhere around there. But it would have been too easy for them. They went through that process, and now you definitely say they've been through the process. They've lost in the AFC Championship game, and they've lost in the Super Bowl.
Yeah, and you know, last year we were thinking they had a Super Bowl hangover. You know, they started the season pretty rough. The first four games, you're thinking, what happened to the Bengals, man?
They're Super Bowl hangover. That's what we were thinking.
And boom, they're on a run, and they're right into it. And then it goes all the way down to the AFC Championship game, and they lose in the last play.
Yep.
I like this roster. There's some questions there in the secondary, obviously.
Secondary's
right?
The worry for Cincinnati.
You got to worry about that. But you just like the way this thing's headed, and I really think they're the cream of the crop. Now, the wild card for me, though, has to be Baltimore, right, Jordan? Let's think about this. If Lamar Jackson's healthy, well, the whole new offensive coordinator, do we see a Ravens team? You know they're going to be good defensively, right?
Yeah.
So if Jackson plays 17 games, is this a team that could leapfrog the Bengals?
I don't think they leapfrog them in the regular season, but the postseason's a different beast. I think when you talk about AFC teams in general, Vinny, find me a coach who's been better in the regular season stockpiling wins than John Harbaugh.
Yeah, absolutely.
He gets you there. Put you in a spot.
You know, now we have a new offense coordinator, and if Lamar Jackson plays 17 games, I'm intrigued. I think it's one of the great offseason stories is Lamar Jackson. And what I mean by that is the contract's kind of settled, right? Here's a guy that made a living being electric running around.
Yeah.
And then that, like it happens to every running quarterback, we see this, they get hurt.
Yep.
And they have to develop and take that out of their game or be a lot smarter with it. I want to see how Lamar Jackson functions in a new offense. I'm really interested to see this. I think this is going to be fascinating to see if he can throw the ball 25 times a game, not rush for 800 yards, stay healthy for 17 games, and what's that offense look like?
Yeah, and when you mentioned the offseason, Lamar Jackson, we got to make sure that we're straight on something here. We see players hold out all the time. Lamar Jackson was not holding out.
No,
he was not. Lamar Jackson didn't have a contract. He was essentially under team control for 2 years because of the franchise tag. So it wasn't as if Lamar Jackson was unhappy with his contract and he stood out and said, I'm not playing until I get a reworked deal. That wasn't the case. And you talk about the injury. I questioned Lamar Jackson's heart a couple of times. I think he could have played a few times, but because he didn't have a deal, he wasn't going to play. I was pretty hard on him last year because of that. I think he could have played. Now you give him his deal, you give him his money, you go out, you get Odell. I think Odell is really one of the more intriguing one of the more intriguing free agent pickups of the offseason. The guy was on his way to being Super Bowl MVP the last time we saw him play.
Yeah.
And then last year, there were some concerns, obviously, with Odell because there were teams in playoff contention that gave him a workout, and they said, this guy's not ready to play. Then Baltimore goes out, and they spent a lot of money. Remember, Odell was rumored to go to New York. It seemed like a foregone conclusion. He was going to team up in New York with Aaron Rodgers, and then all of a sudden, you see this deal from Baltimore. Wow, they paid him. They gave him some good money.
Yeah, they gave him big money.
And this is a guy that has two ACL injuries, hasn't played in a year. You put him opposite of Zay Flowers. I'm intrigued by this team offensively. I really am.
I want to see how it works, because if they had a functional offense, you know, in the playoffs last few years, this could have been something. They were on a run. I think you have the greatest kicker maybe in NFL history, right?
I would agree. I would say
The defense is always solid. The Hamilton kid, you know, you're a Notre Dame homer. In the secondary, they've had some guys. Humphrey's incredible. And they seem to always bring pressure. I mean, it's just, and they run the ball great, right? But then you get to playoffs and you got to score points. And this team couldn't score. So they've revamped it. You know, Dobbins is still there. But, you know, you get Beckham, you draft Flowers. Andrews can flat play. Can Lamar throw it 25 times a game, 30 times a game, score 28 points to beat the Bengals, score 31 to beat the Chiefs? I mean, are they that type of team? And I think this is an intriguing story. I really do.
I think in comparison between Baltimore and Cincy, because see, Cincy went Miles Murphy in the first round, right?
Yeah.
So they bolstered their pass rush. You talked about Hendrickson. They've bolstered their pass rush where there's questions in the secondary with no Jesse Bates. There's no Von Bell. That secondary is going to take a big drop off, right? So are we heading down a trend in football where teams are saying, okay, we'll put athletes in the secondary. They don't have to be the best safeties. They don't have to have the best defensive backs in the league. Let's focus on pass rush. We're going to create havoc up front. Have we entered that era?
I think we have. So I think we have. We've seen this blueprint before.
We have, right?
You know, with the Colts. Remember the Colts? It was, Look, we're going to score. You're going to have to throw the ball. You're going to block Freeney and Mathis.
Yep.
And that's how we're going to stop you. And, you know, and we talked about it ad nauseum on air. Some people love the new NFL. Some people have trouble with it. You know, but the fact is, if you don't put the quarterback on the ground, the NFL will make you score. They want you to score.
Yeah.
So you're heading towards that. You're going to have to put the quarterback on the ground to stop an NFL offense.
So if you're, I'm not saying that Cincinnati has a mediocre secondary, because I don't believe they do.
No, a first rounder, that Hill kid's a first rounder in Michigan. He was groomed for this.
They're not going to be as good as they were, but just looking at it, is Lamar Jackson the type of quarterback that can beat that logic? We're going to bring a pass rush. Half the time, left tackle, right tackle, guards, they don't know where he's at. This guy can scramble up the middle of the field for 60 yards. We saw it last season.
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay, so is he the blueprint quarterback to beat the kind of structure that a team like Cincinnati is trying to throw out there?
The answer to that is, how comfortable are you? And the fact of the matter is, Baltimore has been in the playoffs for 2 years in a row because he's been hurt.
Yeah.
I mean, we've seen this over and over again. And if you cannot throw the ball from the pocket in the NFL, you're not going to last. You're not going to win a Super Bowl. I mean, that's just the way it is because of the injury factor. And we've seen this over and over. So he's going to have to. You can't take that away from him completely. But are we going to be running quarterback sweeps and him running for 800 yards this year? I highly doubt it. I think a great year for him a great year would be 3,500 yards throwing the ball, 25 to 28 touchdowns, him running for 400 or 500 yards, maybe 400, 6 or 8 touchdowns. At that point, that's a great season for Lamar Jackson if he plays 17 games.
He paid $260 million for that guy.
Well, if he's running around and gets blasted and he misses six games with a lower leg injury and you don't make the playoffs, you've pretty much wasted that money.
Speaking of money that has been wasted, $230 million guaranteed to Deshaun Watson. Still early in this contract, but we have to talk about the Cleveland Browns. They were so desperate for a quarterback, they were willing to give record-breaking guaranteed money to a guy that we hadn't seen in 2 years. And then, Vinny, you look at his statistics from just last season. Not good. 6 games, threw for 1,100 yards, 7 touchdowns, 5 picks, only completed 58% of his passes. Those were career worsts outside of interceptions because he didn't play enough games. But Deshaun Watson did not look good last year. Does he get back to being a potential top 10 quarterback this season?
It's there. We've seen it. Is it still there? We're going to find out. I think it is. I mean, this is a guy that took a team on his back and was an MVP caliber player a couple years ago. It wasn't that long ago. He didn't sustain major injuries. There's some controversy around it. There's some personal feelings with that. That's fine. But the fact of the matter is, if he plays Deshaun Watson football, that's a darn good football team.
Yeah.
With him and Chubb and the weapons they have. But defensively, I think they've got a little better.
Defenses could key on Chubb last year, and they did.
That he did. And but let's give Stefanski and Watson that full year. We've had the offseason. He's healthy. He's should be right.
And Stefanski's on the hot seat, right?
And he's on the hot seat. I think this is a team. Would you be shocked right now if Watson played lights out, this team won 11 games? I wouldn't.
11 games? No. No, because
if he plays like he did, was it 3 years ago in Houston?
Yeah, he was top 10 quarterback in the league.
Absolutely.
And then you look at what he's got offensively. You know, we've talked about Chubb, but I mean, on the outside, you still have Amari Cooper. You still have David Njoku. And I've been a fan of Njoku
since
college.
Donovan Peoples-Jones. Yeah. He's ready to break out.
Then I think defensively, when you look at edge rush, a lot of people don't want to admit this because of the on-the-field issues, but Myles Garrett is
dominant.
He's a top five defensive player, definitely on the edge. There's no question.
He might be top five defensive player in the NFL.
He may be.
He is dominant. He is a great, great player. This team has a chance to be really good. They really do. They have a nice roster.
And then you have Pittsburgh. And if we're going to talk about one of the best defensive players in the game, well, you have T.J. Watt, who he's right there with Aaron Donald. He has been for a couple of years now.
Yeah, a great player.
This kid is incredible.
Fitzpatrick's a great player. Hayward's still effective. Yep. Kenny Pickett takes a big leap here. This is a team that, you know, I think this team only wins 9 games. 9-8, I think, is their ceiling, somewhere in that neighborhood, in my mind. But I'll tell you what, if Kenny Pickett takes a leap, Mike Tomlin has shown again and again, they're going to be a tough out. Najee Harris can play. If Pickett shows something here, there's some, you know, receivers on the outside. Pickens was great last year.
He went out and got Allen Robinson.
He got A-Rob if he's healthy.
I don't know what's left in the tank, but you added him for nothing.
But if Pickett's a gamer, he's a hometown kid, that, you know, these Steeler fans, they like him. And Tomlin has proven again and again, he's a tough out. He is a tough out. I think this is a team that hovers around 500, and you know, they're competitive in every game.
They're tough. That's it. They're hard-nosed.
Yeah, absolutely.
You know it. This is the thing about the Steelers with Tomlin. They could, not that this happens, but they could go 7-10. And if they go 7-10, which I think the division is very, very difficult, so it's not out of the question they finish with a losing record. But you'll go back and you'll look at Pittsburgh at the end of the season and say they very easily could have been
10-7, 11-6. They could have been be in every game. Yep. I think they'll be competitive every game.
So let's go over Vegas wins over under Cincinnati, 11.5.
I'm going to say
they got to get to 12 because they got that half.
Under.
You can go under.
Under.
Baltimore, 10.
Even. I think they say right at 10. I'm going to say even.
Cleveland, 9.
Over.
Pittsburgh, 8.5.
Over.
So you're saying all four teams in the division have a winning record?
Yeah, I think they're all going to be grouped together. You're going to say 11, 10, 9, and 8, somewhere in that neighborhood right there.
I'm going to take Cincy over. I'm going to take Baltimore. 10 is tough. Stay away from that one. Don't put any money on that.
Yeah, I'm going to say even. I would say I'm going to go under. Let me change my mind. I'm going to go under.
I was leaning towards under. I'll probably go under. Cleveland, I'm going to go under 9 wins. Pittsburgh, 8.5. I'm going to go under as well. I'm going to take 3 teams.
They're going to be grouped together. I think since he's going to win that division by three games, I think the other 3 teams are going to be separated by half a game or a game. I really do.
Cincy and Baltimore finish above 500. Cleveland, Pittsburgh, just under.
Right there, hovering.
It's close.
Yeah, close.
And, and again, anytime you talk about a team going, 8-9, they're in the mix.
They're in the mix. And these games are so competitive. An 8-9 football team is 4 plays away from, being a playoff football team.
No question.
In every game.
And I think a lot of people forget that. Well, you think they're going to go 6-11? Well, if you're 6-8 going into the final 3 weeks of the season, you're in the playoff hunt.
Yeah, you're in it. These games are so competitive that it's not a knock on a team to say, that's a bad football team. No, a 9-win football team nowadays, that's a good football team. You're close.
Look at Detroit. Went 9-8 last year. And that's the perfect segue into a commercial break. We're going to pause one more time. We'll come back, talk NFC North when we return. It's Drive Time Sports, and we're live from the Sutherland Studios.